All right, welcome to part four of our series, Baggage. And as I always like to do right here, let me just pause and welcome all those that join us weekly online from just different places around the world. Actually, we're so glad to have you here. You're part of our church, our online campus. Come on, can everybody help me welcome them right now? We're so glad to have you here. Yes. And I'm really excited about this installment of our series.
We know that we're discussing how that many times we have baggage, things that attach themselves to us that comes along for the ride that probably should not necessarily be part of the journey. And you know, when we think about baggage, there's really a couple different types of baggage. There's the baggage that we have that when we've made mistakes and things that we've done ourselves that we regret, and we seem to not be able to shake that or let that go. Another area, second area, would be relationships. When people hurt us, there's wounds, there's things that we've experienced, tragedies that we've come through. And last week we talked about that. We talked about relational baggage. Week one we established that all of us have strongholds. That word strongholds in the Greek, we discussed that, and that is that it really means that you're a prisoner locked by a lie. In other words, you bought into something that wasn't true. It was deception, you know, and so we kind of build our life around things that are not really true. We adopt those things. Those things attach themselves to us. We drag those things, those lies, along with us everywhere we go and becomes a part of us. In other words, the enemy's convinced you that it's a part of you, and it's really not a part of you. And so what we're doing in this series, we're trying to dispel the lies and those things, and so that you can travel light, amen, and be free in Jesus' name. And so I'm really enjoying this this series. We're actually using this scripture as a theme scripture for our series. It's not in your notes. And by the way, speaking of notes, there are notes there available in your worship guide. You can follow along, some fill in the blanks. We'll have the text and everything up here on the screen for you. Also, if you're watching online, those are downloadable from our website there. You can download those and follow along with us as well. But let's look at this theme verse that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons of we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." And so we're talking about how we can dispel those lies and we can break that stronghold off of your life. And so today we want to talk about the bag that won't let go. Now, for many of us, we've come to Christ, and at that moment, Christ has set us free, and we've experienced freedom. We've experienced new life. But if you're like most people, there's that one thing that seems to not want to let go. There's that one area that we just can't seem to get over and get around. And so we think at times that there's nothing that we can do about that. So that's just part of me. We adopt that, so we accommodate. And just how you saw in our video, the message video, and that is that we kind of build our life around that. We grab up the luggage, and we just say, well, this is just part of who I am. My daddy was this way. My granddaddy was this way. You know, his granddaddy was this way. I guess I'll always be this way, you know. I got Scottish blood. I got a temper. That's just who I am. Get over it. I got red hair. My mom had red hair. They said she had a redhead temper. So we adapt these. We adopt these things. We think that's just who I am. That's my nature. I'll always be that way. But actually, I just want to encourage you today that it doesn't have to be that way. God wants to set us free from that bag that won't let us go. Whether it be an addiction or a habit or a substance or a lust or a click, or whatever that is, I just want to encourage you today that you can be free of it. Now, many of you probably have come into a service like this, and you experience singing, you experience God's presence, and you say, "Oh God, never again, never again. I won't do that thing ever again, only to go out and do it again." And today, I want us to take us on a journey through God's Word to find the secret of getting rid of it once and for all. You know, the Bible is very encouraging. It gives you the good, the bad, the ugly. It speaks truth. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, y'all, he had baggage, okay? He had some things that attached itself to him. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, he said, I love this. I don't understand myself at all. Don't you just love the Bible? Do you ever feel that way? I just don't understand myself at all. For I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing that I hate. I can relate to that. Can anybody relate to that? And so we're going to talk about how do we let go of that bag? How do we get rid of that bag that won't let go? And so to help you identify this bag that won't let go, I'm going to go through some steps or a progression, a cycle, if you will. I would call it a cycle of destruction that happens to each of us. Take notes here. Number one, it becomes a part of your identity. Your identity. So it's not just a problem anymore, but you can say, it's who I am. It's in my genes. It's a part of who I am. You know, I can't help it. It just runs deep in my family or in me. I've been dealing with this for a long time. I'm just a ladies' man. That's who I am. You know, I'm just whatever, you know. And we adapt those things and we say that's who we are. I want to tell you, that's a dangerous belief to adopt these things and becomes the problem that you're dealing with just becomes a part of who you are. And my job, let me just be clear, my job in this series is to take every lie that the devil told you and bring some truth to dispel that lie today. Because the lie is what's got us in this bondage. So obvious solution is we're going to combat it with some truth. Some truth, right? I want to bring some truth and see what the Bible has to say about it. In fact, the Bible doesn't say that we have to be what we used to be. In fact, it says if any person is born again of Christ, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's something to get happy about right there. He's a new creation. The past is old. You're brand new. And you're not who, in fact, at times in Scripture, you'll see where Jesus would just assign them new names. They needed a new identity, right? Saul, you're no longer Saul, you're Paul. Come on. Silas, you're Peter. You're Rock, come on. You're strong. Come on, you can do this. You think you're just going to give in under the weight and temptation, but come on, I'm going to strengthen you, and you're going to help the body of Christ, right? So we're new in Christ. You know, in fact, there's some support groups, and I'm all about support groups. And please don't misunderstand. I think they do a great job, and there's a place for that. And people need support groups. In fact, we have support groups. We call them small groups. And I'm going to talk about that as I go through this message this morning. But there's some support groups that, you know, that you're supposed to say, hello, my name is Theron, and I'm an alcoholic. And I, you know, for 45 years I've been clean, but yet, And I understand the need to acknowledge the problem. Please don't misunderstand. But here's what I do know. I don't believe that God's plan is for the rest of your days that you be tagged with something from yesterday. God is able to give you a new beginning and set you free. Amen? That you're not no longer that old person. You're a new person. Amen? So I hope you understand. In all respect, but I'm just saying, what I'm pointing out is that you can be a new person through the help of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so it becomes a part of your identity. Another thing that happens in this cycle is you feel it leads you to feel hopeless. That's who I am. Then it leads to this feel increasingly hopeless. We say, okay, that's good, Pastor, but you don't understand. You're talking about being free of this thing, but I got a stack of CDs at home. I got all kind of help books. I've been to all the workshops. Nice try, you know. But, you know, just go ahead and say what you're going to say, and we'll go get something to eat after church. It does not go change me, you know? And so we get in this place of hopelessness. And then it leads to another stage, and that's you become defensive. You know, hey, I don't have a problem. Or you don't know what I've been through. Sometimes we coddle our baggage, you know. We coddle it. This is mine. Leave me alone. You don't understand. I got a right to go around with my life resentful and with anger. You know, this is mine. This is mine. You can't have it. Get your own. You know, you tell them your problem. They're going to, you know, you tell somebody how you do it. They're going to tell you if you're not careful. You say, how you do it? They'll tell you. And then if you tell them that you're going through something, well, that's tough. But let me tell you what I've been through. Let me tell you about my special problem. You know, we become defensive and we say, you know, I've got a right to my anger. I've got a right. You don't know what that person did to you. And while I know that perhaps that they did do, there was some significant, and it wasn't just trivial, something significant happened to you, and it was, then the pain was real, and it was deep, the hurt was deep. I just do want you to know that there is a way out of that today. I want you to encourage you that. But that's a step. You become defensive. Another thing in this cycle is that you become a slave to that thing. Now, if we'll be honest, probably all of us have that one area. We're a slave to something. You know, I'm shopping and I can't stop. I just get out there and I can't stop. I'm in debt, but I've still got to shop. You know, there's a reason why they named that thing MasterCard. It masters you, right? I mean, you know, you're under that bondage. All my Financial Peace University people are applauding right now. But you become a slave to that thing. A fifth step, and this is so sad, you begin to lose your life. A fifth part of the cycle, you begin to lose your life. And how tragic, where you resign, that's where you resign to defeat. And you just get overwhelmed with it. It overtakes you. Like the guy in the video, you know, he's brushing his teeth and he can't even move from baggage, right? You can't even function. You lose your life. And the ride is no longer enjoyable. The journey is no longer enjoyable. Can I tell you, God doesn't want you to just muddle through this life and barely make it and struggle. God came that you would have life and have it to the fullest. God wants you to enjoy life and to be free in Jesus' name. Let me give you this scripture. It's found in Romans chapter 6. It says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Sin is no longer your master. Instead, watch this now, instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. What could it be? What is it that your baggage is? Could it be that it's something as simple as eating or what you do after you eat? Could it be what you're clicking on? Perhaps your anger. Maybe it's your shopping, your hunting, your gambling. Anything that could control your life that you become so obsessed with that it controls you. And you say, well, I don't know if it controls me. Well, let me ask you a few questions today to see if perhaps we're mastered by something or not. Consider these questions. Does your family or friends say you have a problem? Do you continue even though you know it's hurting people? Do you continue that thing, even though you know it's hurting people? Or do you arrange your schedule around it? In college, I had I knew this girl in college. She would arrange her schedules around soap opera, her classes. I just always thought that was so strange. But anyway, I'm just saying. How about this? Can you go 1 week without it? Is it leading you to isolation? Are you trying to keep it a secret? Now, if you answered yes to two or three of those, chances are you're mastered or controlled by something. You've got some bags that's attached themselves. You're not enjoying the trip. And they're keeping you from God's best. Now, I know this is kind of an introspective thing, so Let me lighten it up a little bit here, because y'all look real serious right now. There were some scientific studies that was done that about men that have some addictions and they lust, have a problem with lusting. And the studies show that there were actually some particular days that they realized that men are more prone to lust. They found out that Tuesdays, it was actually days that start with T's, Tuesday and Thursday, today, tomorrow, Tatterday, Tunday. Come on, everybody. I'm just saying. Sorry, you needed a laugh right there a little bit. Okay. But we all have baggage. We all have issues. And if you say, well, I don't have issues, well, that's your issue. You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about breaking free. Get this now. 2 Corinthians, look at this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Now, I underline that word Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Hold that scripture right there. Now look at that. If we want freedom, the freedom is found where the Spirit of the Lord is. So what I want to show us today is this is not just something where we could just take notes and do 1, 2, 3, pull the chain, everything's fine. You're going to need some power that's beyond your power and your ability. Now, there's a part for us to play in this. We're going to talk about that, some practicals for us to do. But can I tell you that the starting point is that you need the Spirit of the living God in your life in order for you to experience freedom. That word Spirit is the Greek word pneuma, which actually means breath, which is the manifest presence of God. I want us to understand this morning that God is not just some being from thousands of years ago that lives light years away from us, that's far removed, that's wound this thing up, and it's ticking along, and he's got nothing to do with us. God is very much alive and involved in his creation. He is a very present help, the Bible says, in the time of need. And he manifests his presence to us. And where his presence is, the Bible says there's fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures evermore. You need something more than your own talents and your own ability. Come on, you need more than your own finesse. You need the presence of the living God to be able to overcome and break free. I just want us to get that today. That's when you experience freedom. And God is here. Can I just tell you, God is here now, and you can experience the presence of God, and you can experience freedom today. And that's because we need to experience his presence to experience freedom. In fact, that's the mission that Jesus was on when he came to this earth. Galatians 5:1, he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The reason he came to set us free is so that we can have freedom. He wants us to be free. He doesn't want us to live in bondage. One scripture says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. So he didn't just come so you could just put up with him and rent a room to him somewhere in your house and accommodate the devil, you know, or whatever, you know, just drag the luggage along. You know, they even got wheels now, y'all. I didn't plan on using all this today, but they got wheels now. They can just pull it along, you know, just, you know, make it as convenient as possible. No, he wants to eliminate the luggage and set us completely free. Amen. He wants us to be free. I want us to get that. Don't buy into the lie of the enemy. No matter how long it's been that you struggle with that thing, that you cannot be free from it. God didn't come. Let me tell you another thing. God didn't come to point an accusing finger at us. He came to set us free. And I think sometimes we think church, we presented church or religion in such a way, we packaged it in such a way that to the world we've come across as all the church is a long finger pointing at everybody and telling everybody what they're doing wrong and they're going to hell. Can I tell you that God didn't come just to point an accusing finger at us? He came to set us free. That is his mission. I like to put it this way. God didn't come to make me sorry. He came to set me free. Amen? Religion will make you feel sorry and it'll beat you up. But Jesus has come to set you free. Jesus has come and he's brought the presence of God. And his role is to set us free. Amen? Now that's his role. to bring His power and to bring His presence. So what's my role? What's our role? Well, let's go through a few things here together. So we know we can come into a church setting and say, okay, God, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to break free from this. We experience His presence. His presence has the power to set us free. But there is a part for us to be involved with as well. Number one, write this down. Can the excuses. I'm going to say it with a smile on my face. Can the excuses. Well, you don't understand. My daddy, his daddy. Adam, he asked Adam, God asked Adam what happened, and he said, well, God, it was that woman. I'm not meaning to point at you, Laura. I'm sorry. It was that woman. You were sitting right there in the splash zone. It's that woman. Well, I shouldn't point down. It's that woman. I'm going to get in trouble yet, y'all. It's that woman that you gave me. That's what he said. That was his answer. Blame game. Eve, what in the world happened? It was that serpent. And everybody wants to blame somebody else, you know? Can the excuses at some point, you got to stop blaming society and government and your environment and your job and your boss and your spouse and your kids, come on, and the weather and whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? Sometime we got to take responsibility and stop with the excuses. Jesus came offering a changed life. And I want to share with you this story. It's found in Luke chapter 14 where Jesus came. He was offering this changed life. And to present this offer, he put it in a story form of an invitation to a wedding. And I want you to see what the response is. He said there was an invitation that went out for this wedding. And here was the responses that came back. Here was the RSVPs. But they all alike began to make, there it is, excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married and I can't come. So, I mean, I could add, as a pastor, I could add a long list to that. You know what I'm saying? You know, we've got all these excuses, but I'm just saying, and I want to encourage you today, make a decision. Say, I'm going to can excuses. I'm not going to allow that person that did that thing to me to steal my joy and to destroy my life. I'm making they did me wrong, but I'm making a decision today. I'm not going to live in the excuse of that anymore. I'm going to take charge of that, and I'm going to give beyond that. Here's the truth. Let's give you some truth. There's a lie that says you can't get beyond it. Here's truth. Philippians. I want us all to say this together. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Say it aloud. I can do, come on, not a soft, aloud. Come on. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Can we say that one more time? I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. It's so true. Number two, cut the ties. So you need to can the excuses and then cut the ties. So you can't just come to church, feel good, experience God's presence, experience His power, and then go back out and do the same things. You got to cut some ties. You got to let the baggage go. Let it go. Let it go. That's the baggage. Okay? Not the wife, not the husband. Okay? All right? Not the kids. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So come back to your senses and stop sinning. So, as y'all have heard me say this right here before, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Okay? Some of us need to make good decisions today. Today, let me just underline that. Today, that we're gonna end that relationship that you know is not the right relationship. That conversation that's been happening at the water fountain at work or wherever, you know, and you know that's not going in the right direction, cut it off today. That relationship, you know, that you know is wrong and unhealthy, you know, come on, girls, get the phone out right now, this moment in church, text him and say, it's over. If you need me to, I'll text him and let him know, okay? I'm just saying, you need to make decisions to cut the ties, to let it go. I heard of a pastor whose son was going into college, and the son came to his dad and he said, Dad, he said, you know, I've never really had a problem with this. It's honest. It's never been a problem, this area. But I want to make sure it doesn't become a problem. And he said, I want to get on a filter for the internet so it emails you every time I go to a website to protect myself. Because I'm going into a dorm and I don't know what all's out there and I don't know where opportunities might be out there. So I want to set myself up for success. Isn't that cool? The dad stepped back and he said, I've raised a genius. Because he realized he needed to make some decisions. Come on. Set yourself, make some decisions. Cut some ties. Establish some things. Do some things that's going to cause you to have success. You can't just drop the bag on Sunday and not make some decisions out there. Is this good? Is this practical? Okay. I heard of a pastor who was about to celebrate his 25th anniversary. He said that he's always praying this prayer, you know, God, search me. See if there be anything in me that's not pleasing to you. And he said he was praying that one day, and God just put a finger on it, man, boom. And said, you know that, those old letters you got from those old girlfriends? You've been married 25 years, but you still got a box sitting over there with all those old letters and pictures and all that stuff and teddy bears and hearts and all that stuff. You need to get rid of that. Now, I'm not putting that off on you. I'm not saying that's what you have to do, okay? But this was just for this particular pastor. I did this. It wasn't me. It wasn't this pastor, okay? I'm just telling you a story. It wasn't. But this pastor went out and he built a bonfire and you know, where it was legal to do so at that time. And he just started burning everything, just burned it. He said, that stuff just went away. He said, I'm telling you, I experienced some freedom. For one thing, God convicted him of that, and he was obedient to that. There's always a blessing in obedience. There's a sacrifice in disobedience, right? And so I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying that's what it is, but whatever it is, for you, come on, make the decision and cut the ties. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves, right? Submit yourselves then to God. So that's Sunday morning, right? That's when the sun's shining. But then it says, resist the devil. So when it starts raining, when things are going, come on, when you walk out of here, you got to do something. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if you're serious about finding freedom, you got to be serious about cutting the ties. So we're going to can the excuses, we're going to cut the ties. And then third, you need to fill the void, because when you start emptying, cutting the ties and getting rid of stuff, you're going to get that lonely feeling, right? Well, something's missing. So you need to fill it with something. Let me give you this scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5 that says, do not get drunk on wine. And we could probably fill that in with a lot of stuff, right? Don't get drunk on shopping. You know, don't get drunk on hunting. Don't get drunk on whatever it is, you know, that whatever that is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And that word debauchery means, it's a word that really means overindulging in the senses. In other words, your senses start taking over. That's why everybody says, well, if it feels good, just do it. That's people that are run by their senses. And it will, listen, it's not going to end well. Instead, it says, be filled with the Spirit, right? And that's going to lead to life. So, be filled with the Spirit. And let me give you four suggestions of things that I believe that we need to be filled with, okay? Number one, write this down, God's Word. Listen, God's Word is not just good feel instructions, you know, how-to book, whatever, history, stories, you know, whatever. God's Word is alive. The Bible says it's like a sharp two-edged sword. It reaches down in the deep of who you are, and it deals with you on the inside, and it has the power to change your life. Amen, everybody? Get into the Word of God. Amen. Get into the Word. And I would encourage, we try to encourage, be a self-feeder. Come on. Don't just come in here on Sunday and gorge, you know. Sunday buffet, let's go, you know. Come on, be a self-feeder. Daily get into the Word of God. On our website, we've got a thing you can click on. You can read the one-year Bible through, you know. And if you get behind, it's okay, it's okay. You know, you go to somebody, well, how are you doing the Bible reading? Well, I'm already 3 months ahead, you know. I'm going to read 500 scriptures today. No. That's bondage. You're missing the point. Come on, just read the one for today. That one that you missed yesterday will be there next year. Another, don't make it about just, come on, getting in the Word every day. Make it a part. It's what I do at the beginning of every day. The first thing I look at, I don't look at emails. I don't look at social media. I don't look at Twitter. I don't look at Facebook. I don't look at anything before I look at the Word of God every morning. In fact, I get the verse of the day every morning. And what I do, I take it, I copy it, I paste it, and I send it to my family. I'm going to make sure before they're out of bed, y'all, they're getting a text from Daddy, and he's going to give them the verse of the day. I'm going to make sure they get fed every morning. You know, some of y'all make sure you got the Flintstone vitamin. Y'all don't know what the Flintstone vitamin is, do you? The vitamin out there for them to eat every morning. Come on, give them the Word every day because it's life, amen? It's going to give them what they need for that day. In fact, my phone will ring like 9 o'clock on up into the morning. It rings, it dings me again, and it gives me same verse of the day. And then the people that I'm around at that time of the morning, I say, okay, everybody, here's the verse of the day, and I'll just tell them what it is. I mean, you know, just share, just come on, get into the Word of God. Because and I just want to say it again, every day. And here's what's going to happen when you do that. Ephesians 5 and 26 says, look, I'm washed by the cleansing of God's Word. Can I tell you something else? Come on, everybody. It's daily bread. It's daily bread. You wash every day, don't you? Come on, we take a bath every day, right? Come on, it rained Friday. Thank God I got a bath Friday. It finally rained, you know, or Thursday. What day was it? You know? No, we come on. We shower every day or bathe every day. You put the deodorant on so you're going to smell good. Guess what? Get into the Word every day. You're going to smell good. You're going to look good. You're going to feel good. You're going to be good. You're going to do good, right? Come on, I'm just trying to get practical with you today, all right? So I remember my father used to say this a lot. Sinning will keep you from reading God's Word. But reading God's Word will keep you from sinning. Isn't that good? That's good. Get in God's Word. Number two. Just trying to make this practical, y'all. Number two, prayer. Prayer. What do you fill your life with? Fill your life with God's Word. Fill your life with prayer. Listen, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's a conversation. Talk to Him like you talk to somebody on the golf course. The disc golf course. Whatever it is for you, you know. Have a conversation. You don't have to start with, oh, thee thou knowest all things thou Godest. God's not from England, okay? He doesn't speak that way. I'm just saying, just talk to God. Doesn't have to be formal. Just have a conversation with God, right? And some of us think, well, I think He's mad at me because I've done all these bad things. And listen, God's not mad at you. It's religion that tells you that. God loves you with an everlasting love, and the best part of His day is when you come to Him and He can have a conversation with you about that and give you grace, come on, and let you off the hook, come on, because Jesus has already paid for all your mistakes. Jesus has already taken care of it. He didn't want to do all that just in vain. He did it so you could be free, amen. Man, that's good news. Come on, somebody, let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise. That's good news. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. This is so beautiful. Jesus, He understands. He understands our weakness. For He faced all of the same temptations we do, yet He did not sin. Look at verse 16. So what's going to happen when we come to Him? Look, so we can now, because He understands, we can come to Him boldly because He's a gracious God. And here's what we're going to receive. Three things. Mercy. Anybody need mercy? We'll find, and then we're going to find grace. That's, you didn't deserve it. Unmerited favor. Come on. His grace. And help. How many need some help? I need help every day. When we need it. He's going to be, so we come to Him in prayer. Now look at the third thing we need to fill our life with. God's Word and God's, and then also prayer. Number three, and that's, we need to have an accountability partner. If you're the only one that knows your secret, my friend, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. This is not in your notes, but this is an extra one. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13 says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And I'm going to present to you that it's not just confessing to God, but that also includes people. It also includes people. You need somebody in your life that you can talk to. That's why we encourage small groups, so that you'll find a relationship in those small groups where you can, come on, you can pour into somebody. Somebody can pour into you, and you can get real with one another. It's so that you can have someone that you can say, hey, man, it always happens on business trips. Would you call me? This time of day, would you call me? Come on, somebody that you can call on. Somebody that you can trust in. That's why we have small groups. We don't have small groups just because we need something cool to do around here. Small groups are there to save your life. Really, they are. Because we do know, and it's not just a phrase, it's the truth. Real life change happens. Freedom happens. The bondage is going to drop off in the context of relationships. God's always made it that way. Only thing that wasn't good was that we'd be alone. That's where the enemy wants you. Isolated to pick you off. Get into a small group. Get in relationship. That's where you're going to grow. That's where somebody's going to have your back. That's where somebody's going to pray for you. That's where somebody's going to, come on, sharpen you a little bit and challenge you a little bit, encourage you a little bit, right? Because we need one another. We cannot do this thing alone. They're there to save your life. And this kind of hurts my feelings. I was having a conversation with somebody about this the other day. Sunday morning is not enough. All the singing, all the preaching, what I'm giving you, it's not enough. Right? Walking out of here getting this is not enough. You need to get into a small group. You need to get into relationships with someone. James 5 and 6 says, therefore confess your sins to who? To each other, and pray for each other so that you may be healed, so you may be free of that thing, be free of that bondage. And then lastly, let me give you this one. You want to fill your life with God's Word and prayer and get an accountability partner. And then lastly, ministry. We need to do something. Listen, you need to do something that makes a difference. Something, your life needs to have purpose so that you're doing something that's beyond yourself. Come on, sociology, Maslow's hierarchy of human needs, right? The pinnacle of it all was transcendence. When you're making a difference in the life of somebody else, when you have a purpose that's bigger than your problem is going to dissipate and go away. That baggage is going to fall off of you when you find yourself doing something that matters. Come on, get on a team, right? Come on, do some production back here, right? Get on a team and sing. Get in the parking lot greeting somebody. Come on, share some worship guides. Take care of some kids. You know, do some ministry. Do something beyond yourself. Come on, get out. Don't just have a pity party. Come on, some of you had a pity party. You sent out invitations and everything, and the only one that showed up was the devil, right? Get out of that. Get into a team that's doing something together that matters and makes a difference. I'm telling you, your life's going to change. Happiest people I know on this church is people that are on a team serving, doing something that matters. I'm telling you, it will change your life. Let me give you this last scripture. It's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21 that says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So don't just let it go, let something go. Come on, fill your life with something good. It's hard as you chase after that wrong thing. Come on, chase after the right thing, right? Chase after the right thing. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Can I tell you in this that we're talking about getting free of that baggage that won't let go? You know, I just want to say this. If you attempt any of what we're talking about this morning without a relationship with God, good luck. Good luck with that. Because you cannot do this. It's not just a matter of going through the academics of this thing and it working. It all begins with a relationship with God, and He brings His presence and His power into your life and sets you free. And I just want to say that freedom is available today. It's available. It's available. You're here today and you've got things that just you're not free of. I want to encourage you. Today's the day. Most importantly, if you're not in a relationship with God, He's not the Lord of your life, today is the day where everything can change. Come on, don't make excuses. Don't buy into the lie. You don't have to live there anymore. You can live in freedom. So if you're in this house or you're watching online, I want to lead you in just a prayer of commitment, saying, God, I'm just going to commit it all to You. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to give You my life. I'm asking You to help me because I can't do it in myself. I've tried. I can't. Maybe you're coming back or you're coming for the first time. Doesn't matter. Whatever that looks like, I want to lead you in a prayer. But I want you to be bold this morning. If that's you today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. But if that's you, just be bold and say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, you can count me in on that prayer. Lift up a hand. Would you do it? Just lift it up. Hold it up and put it right back down. Just a moment. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, yes. Good job. Put your hands down. If you're watching online, I encourage you to join with us in this prayer, whether you're watching live or recorded. It really doesn't matter because your prayer is live with God right now. I'm going to just help you with the words. But I'd like everybody in this place to pray this with me out loud for support of those that need to pray it. But all you got to do is mean it. This is where it all begins. It's just opening up your heart, saying, God, I need You. I want You to come. I know You've come to set me free. I want to experience that freedom in every area of my life. So come on, let's pray this prayer together. Pray this. Just say, thank You, Jesus. Come on, say it aloud. Come on, everybody. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me, for dying on the cross for me. I accept what You did for me by paying for my debt. I ask You to come in, be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my mistakes and my sins. I turn from that and I accept You in my life. With all my heart, I will follow You. Come on, say this. I give You my life. Thank You now for making me brand new. With all my heart, I will serve You as You help me. Thank You, God, for every person who prayed that prayer. Now, Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, do for them what they can't do for themselves. Even now, You've already done it as they have. Lord, surrender their life to You. We confess You as Lord. We thank You, Jesus, that all is new from this moment forward. Lord, miraculously, by Your grace, by Your power, You hear and You respond. And Lord, You've come to help and make all things new. Lord, I pray that You would just now let Your peace, Your presence, Your power, Your provision, Lord, be theirs, God, as they walk this thing out. I pray, God, over every person in this room, every person listening to this message, God, today. Lord, I pray that freedom will be experienced. We'll no longer bind to the lie of the enemy, but we'll believe the truth of God that says we are free in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord, for doing it now. I thank You for giving us the courage to take the steps we need to take with Your help, God. God, that life would be forever changed. Thank You, Jesus, that You've come that we might have life and life to the fullest. God, for everything accomplished, we give You all the credit, all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.